Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, February 16th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Halfway through this chapter, at verse 10, began the greatest dissertation on virtue love in all of the scriptures. The rest of chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5 is teaching the doctrine of virtue love. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's start the corrected translation of verse 16. By this, we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us as a substitute for the entire human race. And therefore, we, as royal family of God, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, our fellow believers. Verse 17, but if anyone has the world material possessions, this is again addressing believers in Jesus Christ, such as food or clothing or money or wealth or prosperity, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need, he's destitute, but he has shut up, locked up his heart against him. That is, he has no compassion for him. Then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. Verse 18. My dear children, John's congregation, let us not love, this is impersonal love for those in need, is not to be. What is it not to be? It's not to be with word, talk, nor with the tongue. In other words, talk is cheap. It's all this is a lot of believers, they're all blow and no go. That's not impersonal love for all. But this is what it is. But by means of grace, righteous production, the Royal Family Honor Code, and by means of absolute truth that you have consistently and faithfully learned and believed, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. That's what brings you to the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Well, we stopped at that point and we were studying several of the concepts of impersonal love. We're just getting started. We got the rest of chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and it just keeps building and building and building. We have learned that you must be motivated to love all mankind with impersonal love. And this motivation must come from your personal love for God. Impersonal love for all is the virtue love of the royal family of God. The object of impersonal love, well, it can be anyone. Someone who is antagonistic, an enemy, someone who despises you, someone who is trying to destroy you. Impersonal love is that problem-solving device of Christianity which is defined as unconditional love toward all mankind. Impersonal love for all mankind is the ultimate expression of virtue. Impersonal love as a problem-solving device is mandated in all dispensations under the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18, Matthew 22:36-40, Romans 13:8-10, Galatians 5 verse 14. Our Lord's description of impersonal love is given in Luke 6 verses 27-36. And then the Apostle Paul gives his description of impersonal love in Romans chapter 12, verses 14-21. Personal love for people is virtue dependent for its effectiveness. In other words, that personal love must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Impersonal love is doctrinally dependent for its effectiveness. The effectiveness of impersonal love in the spiritual life is dependent on personal love for God. Deuteronomy 6:5, the mandate. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Without personal love for God the Father, there is no impersonal love for all mankind. Impersonal love is sustained by personal love for God the Father and metabolized doctrine in the heart. Impersonal love is unconditional toward the object. And this means you drop all prejudices toward others, whether it's race or culture or IQ or background. One of the great functions of impersonal love is tolerance. We see this in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, agape, virtue love. The fruit of the, and then the rest of the descriptions there are all a part of virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue, love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. When you have impersonal love for all, you will drop all former standards of superiority or inferiority regarding people and yourself. Impersonal love has a great tolerance. Having no prejudice, no arrogance, no possessiveness, no meddling in others' business. You're courteous. Impersonal love is courteous. It's thoughtful. It's sensitive. Objective in the face of hostility and antagonism. While personal love for people can be a distraction to your relationship with God, impersonal love for all is the manifestation of your personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ as the highest motivation in your life. Impersonal love for all is thoughtfulness of others. It is true sensitivity. Impersonal love for all is characterized by compassion. It's characterized by thoughtfulness. It's characterized by true sensitivity. The true sensitivity of impersonal love means to be thoughtful and aware of other people's needs or adversity or suffering in a very kindly sense. And this is what we were studying, 1 John 3:17 and 18. True sensitivity is the impact of impersonal love as a functional virtue, expressing itself in thoughtfulness and consideration of others. True sensitivity of impersonal love has good manners and a willingness to accommodate oneself to an individual or to a group of individuals. True sensitivity is impersonal love for all, from the stability of the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. However, hypersensitivity means no impersonal love for all. Now we started studying this last week, the first 11 points. Hypersensitivity is arrogance. It is the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Hypersensitivity is arrogant preoccupation with self. The person who is hypersensitive is preoccupied with himself and uses every circumstance and occasion to make an issue out of self. Hypersensitivity operates on the demand syndrome. The hypersensitive person is constantly trying to get his own way. The hypersensitive person does not recognize the principle of freedom. The hypersensitive person tries to take away a person's freedom and to control them. The hypersensitive person is easily offended, and yet he is insensitive to the feelings of others. The hypersensitive person is divorced from reality. The hypersensitive person becomes a bully and a tyrant. The hypersensitive person is characterized by Operation Overthink. The hypersensitive person is anti-authority and rejects most authority except himself. It's too bad that he isn't God. But he thinks he is. He acts that way. And then point 11, where we closed last time, the hypersensitive person takes himself too seriously. He has trouble laughing at himself. He has no sense of humor. The hypersensitive believer tries to find a friendly church instead of a Bible teaching church. A Bible teaching church is what you need that communicates the absolute truth of the Word of God, not a friendly church. Now, there are pastors. The first church I went to, the pastor stood at the door as you left, and everybody shook his hand. And I remember I walked by, and he took my hand. Brother, it is so good to see you. As you notice, I haven't stood at the door. If I do stand at the door on your way out, where in the hell have you been? So you see, I won't stand at the door and shake your hand. That brings us to point 12. The hypersensitive people wear their feelings on their sleeves. They wear their feelings on their sleeves. They are easily offended. You got to toughen up. If you have impersonal love, virtue love, brought to completion in your heart, you're a tough dude. Who cares? You don't pay. You let things come and they just roll right off your back. Like a water off a duck's back. You're tough. Virtue love makes you tough. And sticks and stones can break my bones, but your words can never hurt me. You know, you've heard that. You grew up with kids telling you that. Hypersensitive people wear their feelings on their sleeves. They are easily offended. 13. Hypersensitivity is the enemy of virtue love. It's the enemy of virtue love. The hypersensitive believer has no virtue love. He has no personal love for God the Father. He has no impersonal love for all. He has no occupation with Jesus Christ. The hypersensitive believer never benefits from Bible teaching. He operates on subjectivity instead of objectivity. He is arrogant instead of humble. There's no humility. What is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life? Humility. Who's the great illustration of humility? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and went to the cross. He humbled himself to obey the incarnation plan that the Father had for him, Operation Grace the Cross. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus Christ, God, the God-man, had the foundational virtue in his true humanity of genuine humility. And if that has to be first, that's the first virtue. There are wonderful virtues of Christ. And we are commanded to put on the virtues of Christ and to manifest the virtues of Christ as we live the spiritual life. And the virtues of Christ start out with humility. Humility. And that is respect for authority. The authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. That's the first virtue of Christ you have to have. Genuine humility. If you don't have that, you'll never have the others. That has to come first. And then you build other virtues of Christ. Personal love for God the Father. Impersonal love for all. Occupation with Jesus Christ. The hypersensitive believer never benefits from Bible teaching. He operates on subjectivity instead of objectivity. He is preoccupied with himself and therefore entrapped in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. 14, hypersensitivity hinders spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. The hypersensitive person is not teachable. Hypersensitivity rejects Bible doctrine because of arrogance, because of living in the cosmic system. They either idolize or resent the faithful communicator of the Word of God, and therefore they have no objectivity toward the content of His message. Now, there's one more area we need to study before we continue on. We are going to cover, just build and build and build the rest of this chapter, chapter 4 and chapter 5. But we need to take a look at partiality and favoritism in relationship to impersonal love for all. If you have partiality and favoritism, If you discriminate, if operate by discrimination, then you will never, you have no impersonal love for all. Turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. James 2, 1. My brothers, he's addressing royal family of God. As believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Actually, the command is stop showing favoritism. Stop showing partiality. Stop your discrimination. It's a command. If this was going on, stop doing something that you're doing. Stop showing discrimination. Stop showing favoritism or partiality. Verse 2. Suppose, now he uses an example of a local church. Suppose a man comes into your local church, your church meeting, wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. We'll give that guy the best seat in the house. He may give the pastor $1 million. I'm glad you laughed at that. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but then you say to the destitute man, you stand there. You're not going to sit anywhere. You stand there. Or, if you're going to sit, sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil motivation, evil thinking? Listen, my dear brothers, fellow believers, has not God elected those who are destitute in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the destitute. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong, slandering Jesus Christ? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, what is the royal law? Love your neighbor as yourself. Impersonal love for all. Then you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, partiality, discrimination, you sin and are convicted by the law as breakers of the law. It was a few years ago, I had a Mr. Goldfinger come over here and meet with me, and he was going to give a huge, huge sum of money, not to me, but to the church, going to give a huge, and he was just Mr. Goldfinger. Huge sum of money. But there was a catch. He says, I will give this to you if you would build out there a little monument that said that I gave this wonderful contribution to your church. I didn't say it this way. I didn't say you can take it and shove it up your unimer. But I said, thanks, but no thanks. And then he said, well, I don't know how this church even operates. I said, well, it operates by the grace and power of God. He said, I don't know how you even pay your bills. I said, well, sometimes we don't. But we're here by the grace and power of God. And if God wants us here, He'll provide by His grace and His power. And we'll be here as long as there are people that have the humility to want His word. Then God will provide. And God has always provided, and He's provided. I've been here 44 years, and He's been providing every single step of the way by His grace and by His power. But as you can see, there's no monument out there. But He was a Mr. Goldfinger that came and got a chance to talk to. One, impersonal love is only a virtue when it is directed to everyone, the destitute as well as the rich. Impersonal love is only a virtue when it's directed to everyone, the destitute as well as the rich. And by the way, where this local church is located, the homeless live all around us. This is a destitute area. And I have met multitudes and multitudes of the destitute. And they have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace gospel. I've given them the gospel. I've given them the gospel verbally. I've handed them the booklet. I tell them, go over this again and again. If you believe, this is what the Bible says, that you can know that you will be in heaven for all eternity. You read this and believe this, you'll be there. And you read this and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will provide for you logistical grace. Under His, you see, there's a grace pipeline set up. Justice of God on one end, imputed righteousness on the other, and down that grace pipeline comes everything you need to stay alive in the middle of the devil's world. He will provide for you day after day after day after day, and you will never have to go and beg for money or anything. God will provide all of that graciously to you every day. And multitudes of destitute. We're living in a destitute area. They heard the same thing. And I always start out, I'll give you money the first time. I'll give you money the first time. Now you'll probably take this money and go over here and buy booze and that's it. So I'll do it the first time. But I won't do it, give you money anymore after that. I will give you food. I'll give you water, I'll give you something to drink, clothes, I'll give you anything, but I won't give you, I'll give you money the first time. But after that, I'll give you food, drink, water, sodas, iced tea, clothes, coats, shoes. I had a pair of ice skates, but they don't work real well down here in Las Vegas. And many of them were very appreciative. Very appreciative. And whenever something would be a little test, one day the wind blew the mail. We have a different mailbox now. Blew the mailbox open. And all the letters were blown out over to the park. And so one of the homeless that I had met and talked with several times, I got signaled to him. He came over. What is it, Pastor Olson? I said, oh, the wind blew the mailbox open and all the letters were over the park. Don't worry. And he said, I'll get all of our guys together and we'll find. They went out and found every letter and brought all the letters back. And I said, well, thank you very much. That was very thoughtful of you to do that. But My heart goes out to him in a way. My heart goes out, especially when we have a weather like this, where it's extremely cold, raining, windy, and they're homeless. And I just can't imagine day after day after day. But I have given them the gospel, and you believe in Jesus Christ, God will send down that pipeline to you every day, everything you need to stay alive in the devil's world. And the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And then I have him read it. He says, here, this, you read this to me. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Is that what it said? Yeah. I said, there are a lot of jobs. Why don't you go out and get a job? And every once in a while, one of them would. And I told you about one fellow. When I first saw him, I could hardly stand close enough. He hadn't had a bath in several years. And hair was long, dirty, didn't smell too good. And then a few months later, somebody knocks on the door. I open the door. Hi, Pastor Olson. I go, hello. He says, do you remember me? I go, no. He said, I'm a fellow that came and you gave me the gospel and told me about Jesus Christ, and I believed in Christ, and you said God would provide all my needs, and you said if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And I went out and got a job, and he had a suit on, a suit and a tie. Hair was short. He had Old Spice? No, I don't know if he had Old Spice on. He smelled a lot better than he did before. And I said, that is so fantastic. He said, I just want to thank you, Pastor Olson. I said, you know what? You demonstrated from your free will, you responded to the grace of God. And what God did for you and did on the cross, which He's done for everyone. And I'm just happy. I said, I am so happy you're going to be in heaven. And now you see God's grace at work in your life every day. And that's what God will do for all of the homeless people around here. All they have to do is make that positive volition decision. So impersonal love is only a virtue when it's directed to everyone, the destitute as well as the wealthy too. When you make one exception, you have no impersonal love. When you make one exception, you have no impersonal love. Three. When you show favoritism or partiality, when you discriminate, you're arrogant. You are arrogant and you are living in Satan's cosmic system. When you show favoritism or partiality and discriminate, you're arrogant and you're living in Satan's cosmic system. Four. Impersonal love is virtue. Virtue. Virtue, honor, integrity, directed to all. Five. Impersonal love is courteous, thoughtful, sensitive to others, no matter who they are. Impersonal love is courteous, thoughtful, sensitive to others, no matter who they are. Whether they are destitute and have nothing, or whether they're wealthy and have a lot. Six. By its very nature, impersonal love is directed to all, and therefore can never show partiality or favoritism. Discrimination. By its very nature, impersonal love is directed to all, and therefore can never show partiality or favoritism or discrimination. Seven, when you show partiality and favoritism and limit impersonal love to only a few, well, you don't have impersonal love for all. When you show partiality and favoritism and limit impersonal love to only a few, well, you don't have impersonal love for all. Eight, as soon as you put a limit or a boundary on impersonal love, you have no impersonal love for all. As soon as you put a limit or a boundary on impersonal love, well, you have no impersonal love for all. Nine, partiality and favoritism is discrimination of others. But impersonal love for all never, never discriminates. And that's James 2:4. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts, evil motivations? Partiality and favoritism is discrimination of others, but impersonal love never discriminates. James 2:4. 10. Partiality and favoritism is judging. It's evil thinking, which includes mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Again, James 2:4. Partiality and favoritism is judging. Judging others. Evil thinking. Mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And if you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, you're not living the spiritual life. You are entrapped in the cosmic system. 11. Partiality and favoritism demonstrates cosmic system function. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Partiality and favoritism demonstrates cosmic system function. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. There is no honor in Satan's cosmic system. The only virtue in Satan's cosmic system is pseudo-virtue. Pseudo. All right. So, verses 17 and 18, but if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, money, wealth, prosperity, and he sees his fellow believer in need, he's destitute, but he has shut up and locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no compassion on him, then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. My dear children, let us not love with word nor with tongue. Impersonal love for those in need is not to be all blow and no go. All talk. Talk is cheap. But it is to be by means of grace, righteous production, the Royal Family Honor Code, and by means of absolute truth. the absolute truth of the Word of God that you have consistently and faithfully believed and is in your heart. All right. Now verse 19. And by this we know. This is the conjunction chi plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the verb gnosko. The conjunction chi introduces the result, the chi of result, K-A-I, introducing a result, which comes from what precedes. And it's correctly translated either and then or and so. Introducing a result which comes from what has just preceded. The preposition and plus the dative. And plus the dative. And plus the dative means by means of. By means of which something is recognized. By means of manifesting impersonal love for all, we demonstrate that we are of the truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God. So N plus the dative. By means of which something is recognized, by means of manifesting impersonal love for all, we demonstrate that we are of the truth. And then the neuter of the near demonstrative pronoun houtos refers to what precedes. H-O-U-T-O-S. This is correctly translated this, and what is it referring to? It's referring to what we studied in 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18, the last two verses. This, that is what we just studied, verses 17 and 18, impersonal love for the needy and the destitute, and then the verb gnosko. G-I-N, long O, S-K, long O. Gnosko. Gnosko means to know or to come to know. And so by means of this, what we just studied, impersonal love for the needy, for the destitute, and so by means of this impersonal love for all, we come to know, we shall know that we are of the truth, not the lie. We are not from the cosmic system. We are of the truth, the absolute truth. We are related to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way and the absolute truth, aletheia. And then Jesus Christ in John 17:17 says, sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. Thy word is aletheia, absolute truth. And so by means of this impersonal love for all, we come to know, we shall know that we are of the aletheia, absolute truth. So this is the conjunction hati plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of aletheia with the definite article plus the present active indicative of ame. All right, hot tea. We start out, and you say, I know that means because. Yeah, sometimes it does, but not here. Sometimes it is a causal conjunction. But what you also know, you enlightened ones who have been here for, some of you, 100 years, you know that after verbs of what? Decendi. And you know how to spell that too, right? After verbs of decendi, what are verbs of decendi? Well, like gnosko, knowing. Verbs of knowing, like gnosko, what we have. Or thinking, or saying. Then, hati is used to introduce an object clause. And is correctly translated, that. It introduces what we come to know what we know, what we shall know. And then the to be verb, eimi, we are, and the preposition ek plus the genitive. Ek plus the genitive. Ek plus the genitive it means source. The source from which something flows. Here's the principle. Impersonal love for all flows from the absolute truth of metabolized doctrine in the heart. Impersonal love for all flows from the absolute truth of metabolized doctrine in the heart. And then, aletheia. A-L, long E-T-H-E-I-A, aletheia. And aletheia is the Greek word for absolute truth. There are several words, Greek words, and used for the Word of God. Logos is used for the written Word of God. But aletheia is a special word that is used for absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. Now, we are living in great times of apostasy in our country, a great degeneracy. Everything is relative. You talk to the liberals and socialists and all, everything is relative. And they have all of their thinking and philosophies and ethics, and it varies from person to person to person because there's so much evil. Because there's no absolute standard in their thinking. But God has given us an absolute standard, His Word. And when you anchor your soul to the absolute standard of the Word of God, then there is right and there is wrong. There is the spiritual life and there is the carnal reversionistic life. And God has given us His absolute standard. And as you consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and get more and more of the absolute standard in your heart, then you live your life by that absolute standard. Turn over to John 17, 17. John 17, 17. Jesus Christ is praying to the Father. By the way, this is one of the greatest prayers coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah in hypostatic union. And who does He pray to? God the Father. And He says, sanctify them by means of aletheia, absolute truth. And then He goes on, thy word is aletheia, absolute truth. The word of Jesus Christ declares that the word of God is absolute truth. And then Jesus Christ said about Himself that He is absolute truth. I am the way and the aletheia and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in Me. He is. Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. And the absolute truth says, sanctify them by means of the absolute truth. Your word is the absolute truth. So, corrected translation. And so, by means of this, impersonal love for all that we, verses 17 and 18, we shall know that we are of the truth. Our impersonal love is from the source of the absolute truth of God's Word, Bible doctrine. And so by means of this, impersonal love for all, we shall know, we come to know, we know that we are of the truth, that our impersonal love is from the source of the absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. One, when you have impersonal love for all, you are thinking absolute truth. You're thinking divine viewpoint. When you have impersonal love for all, you are thinking absolute truth. You're thinking divine viewpoint. Two, when you have impersonal love for all, you are not only thinking the absolute truth of Bible doctrine, but you're also living the absolute truth in your life. And so, verse 17, when you see a fellow believer who is destitute, you, as a result of virtue love brought to completion in your heart, as a result of the absolute truth of Bible doctrine, you manifest impersonal love to that person. When you have impersonal love for all, you're not only thinking the absolute truth of Bible doctrine, but you are also living the absolute truth in your life. Three, impersonal love for all means you can know that you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Impersonal love for all means you can know that you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Four, impersonal love for all means you can know that you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Impersonal love for all means you can know that you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And point five, impersonal love for all means you can know that you have fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Impersonal love for all means you can know that you have fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. So the corrected translation says, and so by means of this, impersonal love for all, what we studied in verses 17 and 18, we shall know that we are of the truth. Our impersonal love is from the source of the absolute truth of the Word of God, and shall assure our hearts before Him. This is the conjunction chi plus the future active indicative of patho plus the accusative singular of cardia with the definite article and the genitive plural of our personal pronoun ego and the improper preposition improsthen with the genitive singular of autos. Chi is a connective chi, correctly translated and then the verb patho. Looks like that in the Greek, P-E-I-T-H, long O, patho. One, patho has several meanings. First of all, it may mean to convince, to persuade, to appeal to. To convince, to persuade, to appeal to. That's first of its connotations. Two, patho may also mean to depend on, to trust in, to put one's confidence in something. To put one's confidence in something. To depend on, to trust in, to put one's confidence in something. Three, it also means to be convinced, to be sure, to be certain. Four, by means of our impersonal love for all, we not only know that we are of the truth, aletheia, absolute truth in our heart, but we also have confidence in our hearts before Him, God the Father. The future tense is the gnomic future. The gnomic future expresses a tendency or a likelihood that something will happen. The active voice, the spiritually mature believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart, has this confidence in his heart before God. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this truth from the viewpoint of reality and certainty. And then the word cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A, cardia, that's the Greek word heart. It refers to the right lobe of the soul. And we have with it the personal pronoun ego, our hearts. So here's the principle. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart results in having confidence before God. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart results in having confidence before God. And then we have an improper preposition. Well, shape up here. Don't be so improper. Empros then. Looks like that in the Greek, E-M-P-R-O-S-T-H-E-N. Emprosthen. Emprosthen is an improper preposition. It's called an improper preposition because it is actually an adverb. An adverb that is used as a preposition. As an adverb, it means in front or ahead. As a preposition, it means in front of or before. And then the genitive singular of autos, third person singular personal, him. Who is him? Before God. So the corrected translation. And so by means of this, what we studied in verses 17 and 18, impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth. Absolute truth of the Word of God is in our heart. And we shall have confidence in our hearts before Him, God the Father. And there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that. You talk about tranquility of soul. You have confidence in your heart before the Lord, before God. And there's nothing, how much is that worth? It's priceless. It's priceless. Moment by moment, day by day. Confidence in our heart before God the Father. Doesn't get any better than that. And that, you talk about prosperity. That is the greatest treasure of all. Having in your heart that confidence before God. Where does that come from? Because you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. You're occupied with Jesus Christ. You share the happiness of God. What does that mean? The most phenomenal tranquility in your soul, moment by moment, day by day. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.